Today we'd like to see the title of David and Jonathan in the 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 19. To the souls on this online word podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1, in chapter 18, verse 1, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2. In chapter 18, verse 8, then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Last question 3 in verse 19:23. So he went there to Naioth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? In the last time, the 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 58, and Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Because Saul suffered a distressing spirit after the spirit departed from Saul, Saul might have failed to recognize David. Although Saul had recognized him once, of recruiting him, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 and 19. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. David and Jonathan's relationship, as depicted in the Bible, is consistently presented as a profound and non-romantic friendship, deeply rooted in their shared commitment to God. Their covenant of love underscores an exceptional bond of loyalty and mutual support, with Jonathan selflessly recognizing David's divine destiny as a king. Traditional biblical interpretation understands their connection within the context of a covenantal brotherhood, not romantic or sexual intimacy, aligning with the Bible's portrayal of David as a man after God's own heart and its teachings. Cross-reference here. Verse 2. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him, gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword, and his bow, and his belt, his bow. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s. To me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Saul's initial appreciation for David quickly soured when the people began to praise David's military victories more than his own. The celebratory song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, ignited Saul's intense jealousy. This praise, coupled with Samuel's earlier prophecy that God would take the kingdom from Saul and give it to another, led Saul to believe David was the destined success. Consumed by rage, Saul repeatedly attempted to murder David, even hurling his spear at him. This marked the beginning of Saul's relentless or continuous effort to destroy David, driven by desperate desire to retain the kingdom. Jealousy, though often underestimated, proved to be a destructive force, leading Saul to murderous intents. 10-12. And it happened on the next day that the distressing story from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hands as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hands. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall, but David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Driven by distressing spirit and intense jealousy of David's popularity, Saul repeatedly attempted to murder David, yet God's divine protection shielded David, as exemplified by scriptural assurance of angelic charge and a protective hedge. One is Psalm, the other one is Job. Despite Saul's relentless malice, David consistently chose to protect and comfort Saul, demonstrating a godly response to animosity by loving his enemy and submitting to God's will. This stands in the stark contrast or sharp contrast to Saul's own tragic transformation from a humble beginning, as unchecked pride ultimately corrupted his character and fueled his destructive actions. 13. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Verse 17. Then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter, Merah. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me, courageous for me, and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of Philistines be against him. Saul, unwilling to directly kill David, devised a plan for David to die in battle against the Philistines. He offered his elder daughter, Merah, as David's wife, fulfilling his promise to the one who defeated the Philistine champion in hopes and David would be killed in the process. Verse 18, so David said to Saul, who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? While Saul's popularity led to pride and arrogance, David remained humble despite widespread national praise. 18:23. David consistently refused to use his popular support against Saul. David's example underscores the importance of not allowing popularity to distort one's self-perception or inflate one's sense of importance. 19. But it happened at the time when Merah, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel and Meolite as a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. And Saul commanded his servant to communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore, become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servants spoke those words in the hearing of David, and David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor and lightly esteemed man? And the servant of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. Then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So when his servants told David this word, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the day had not expired. Therefore David arose and went, he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, and he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Saul offered his daughter Michal to David as a wife, but only if David brought him 100 Philistine foreskins. David met this dangerous challenge, and in return, Michal became his wife. 3. There's Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of Philistines went out to war. And so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Now Saul became David's enemy continually. David is highly esteemed. Verse 19. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. Chapter 19 opens with Saul's declaration of his intent to kill David, ordering his servants to assist him. At this stage, Saul operated from a fleshly perspective, or distressing spirit operative, because the spirit left from Saul in the Old Testament time. While David, despite his imperfection and occasional lapses in faith, remained a spiritual man, famously described by God as a man after my own heart. This biblical discourse about heroes of faults is encouraging, revealing that God utilized imperfect individuals using trial and test to expose human weakness. This process aimed to mold them into his image, fostering a deep reliance on him rather than on human strength. Verse 2. So Jonathan told David, saying, "My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning, and stay in a secret place and hide." Jonathan, occupying a position of filial duty, faced a moral dilemma when his father, King Saul, commanded him to kill David. While a son is generally obliged to honor his father, this duty is superseded when the father's command violated God's law, as was the case with Saul's instruction to murder an innocent person. Thus, Jonathan's loyalty to God and David's rightly took a precedence of obeying Saul's sinful directive, aligning with principles such as those found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, which encourage obedience to parents in the Lord, not out of the Lord. Verse 3, "And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I adjure, I will tell you." Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without cause?" So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Even as David skillfully played the harp, soothing Saul's troubled heart with music, Saul, overcome by an evil spirit, repeatedly attempted to kill David by throwing a spear. This illustrates how failing to submit to God and resist the devil can open one's life to destructive influence, allowing the evil spirit to gain control and manifest through violent action. Verse 11, Saul also sent a messenger to David's house to watch him and kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So Michal, or Michal, let David down through a window, and he went in, fled, and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, put a cover of goat's hair for his head, and covered it with clothes. So when Saul went to messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. David described Saul's messengers to take David's life in Psalm 59. Verse 15, then Saul sent the messengers back to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may kill him. And when the messengers had come in, and there was the image in the bed, with a cover of goat's hair for his head, then Saul said to Michal, why have you deceived me like this, and sent my enemy away, so that he had escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said to me, let me go, why should I kill you? Verse 18, so David fled, escaped, and went to Samuel and Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went to stay in Naioth. Naioth was the prophetic school in Ramah, established by Samuel, where prophets would deliver, gather, and study. David, in the lapse of faith and trust, still chose his own method to escape from Saul. Verse 19. Now it was told, saying, take note, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Then Saul sent a messenger to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets, prophesying, and Samuel standing at the leader of them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. The spiritual power was so overwhelming that those sent to capture David were incapacitated. Instead, they were compelled to join in the prophecy. 21. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent a messenger again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah and came to the great well that is at Shechu. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed they are at Naioth in Ramah. 23. So he went there to Naioth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. Throughout David's ordeal, God actively protected him from Saul's numerous intents. Through various means, Jonathan interceded on David's behalf. Verse 4, Michal facilitated his escape. 11:17. Samuel provided refuge. 18, and the Spirit of God directly threatened Saul's pursuit. 23 here. Each instance prevented David from harm or death, demonstrating God's watchful care. When you experience similar deliverance from danger, it's crucial to recognize that God may be preserving you for specific divine purpose. Such moments call for thankfulness and a renewed commitment to serving God as you seek to discern and fulfill the purpose He has for your life. 24. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? God's powerful protection consistently shielded David from Saul's murderous intent, despite Saul repeatedly sending messengers and eventually coming himself. The Supreme God incapacitated them all, causing them to prophesy and become helpless to harm David. This divine intervention, however, highlights a crucial point. Even after witnessing God's clear deliverance, David, in a lapse of faith and trust, still chose his own methods to escape from Saul. This pattern underscores a common human tendency to quickly forget God's promise and past deliverance, turning to human solutions in times of troubling, of despair, notably in both the instance and an early one in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Saul, though far from God's heart, was compelled to speak God's word, prophesy, under supernatural power, demonstrating God's sovereign control even over those opposing his will. We covered all three questions. You may continue to keep on praying for the Iranian people, especially. So right here is how it overcomes in persecution. That kind of stories here, how not to talk about that. So you may read them, pray for you right now. We are singing all together, Malanta song on brochure.